Yes. Okay. Daber el bnei Israel v'chu li truma me'et kol isha sheyedvenu libo t'chu trumati. So, if you've been paying attention, you've noticed that we had this incredible break from the discussions of the previous parshiot, going from Matan Torah to Halachot in general, and now we find ourselves in the middle of some detailed instructions for construction. And the truth is, people get lost in this. People get lost in all of the details. I want to really focus on really one issue, but let's start looking. First of all, the word vichuli, the word li there is interesting. It should have been vichu truma, or litrom truma. Even the idea of vichuli truma is interesting. Afterwards, in Pasuk Chet, it's most likely parallel to that, where it says va'asuli mikdash, because it could have been vasu mikdash. Vasuli mikdash v'shachanti b'tocham, and of course everyone notes, instead of saying v'shachanti b'tocham, it should have said v'shachanti b'tocha. After that, in Pasuk Tet, it says, k'chol asher ani mar'eh otcha et tavnit ha-mishkan v'et tavnit kol kilav v'chein ta'asu. And then it starts to go into details, vasu aron atzei shitim amatayim v'chulei. So this phrase over here of kechol asher ani mar'eh. What exactly does that mean? Kechol asher ani mar'eh. Or the other thing I want to know is, what tense is this? Kechol asher ani mar'eh. It's present tense. Yes. I mean, I don't know these things. That's why I'm. This is. Our heir would be the future. Would be the future. So over here it says, "Kechol asher ani mareh otcha." So apparently it is not why. Okay. Well, it's otcha because it's to Moshe. Moshe is the one who gets the vision as far as how to do this. I understand. Okay, I understand. Right. Okay. Kechol asher ani mareh otcha. So obviously, it's very difficult just to give somebody plans, right? When you have the plans, but you also want to build some kind of a model, and then based on the model, it's easier to build the thing. So over here, God is saying, aside from these descriptions, I'm going to show you what it is that I want you to build, which we would assume, therefore, that this is in order to avert any confusion, or maybe even it's an indication that there could be, or there would be, or there was confusion. But rather, he says, no, I'll show you. We go down a little bit. V'natata et ha'aron et ha'edut asher etein elecha. And when it describes the building of the aron, what does it say you'll do with the aron? You'll put apparently luchot ha'edut, you'll put the testimony in asher etein elecha, which I will give you. So, part of what concerns me then is, at which juncture are we right now? When is this conversation taking place? So far we have two pieces of information which may or may not help us. But even before we look at the information, let's think about the possibilities. And first, the broadest possibilities. When could this be? So, when you say Har Sinai, that itself... Okay, so right now... Har Sinai to you means two different possibilities, when Moshe goes up the first time, when Moshe goes up the second time. All of you are theoretically aware of the problem, which is spelled out by Rashi in Source 7. Now this Rashi is far later. This Rashi is when Moshe finally gets the Luchot. V'yitein el Moshe. Right, this is all the way by Perek Lamed Aleph. Lamed Aleph Yudchet. Let me just read to you the pasuk, then we'll look at the Rashi. Lamed Aleph Yudchet reads, "Vayitain Moshe kichalatola deber ito bahar Sinai shnei luchot eidut luchot even k'tufim be'etzpa elokim." And when he completes speaking to him on Mount Sinai, he gives him two luchot eidut, two tablets of testimony. And then it explains, Luchot Evin, tablets of stones, Ketufim, written, Be'etz Belokim, written with the finger of God. What's the next pasuk, right afterwards? You don't know this, because it's not open in front of you. What's the next pasuk? Vayar ha'am ki boshesh Moshe leredet minahar. They see that Moshe tarried in coming down, and that's when the Chet Ha'egel is described. So the way that we find the juxtaposition of the giving of the Luchot and the Chet Ha'egel, so it sounds, which I think is quite simply the pshat, it sounds that the Chet Ha'egel takes place right as God gives Moshe Luchot, right? Right. Now, this whole analysis ignored one thing. That's all the way in Perek Lamed Aleph. What happens between now and Perek Lamed Aleph? We have Truma and Tetzaveh, meaning we have a lot of instructions how to build the Mishkan. So now let's go back a second. You follow the simple narrative of the Torah, you'd be led into believe. How did we end last week's parsha? Moshe went up to Har Sinai. What happens when Moshe gets up to Har Sinai? What does God say to him when he gets up the first time? V'chuli truma. Right? Start collecting the truma, and you're going to build this place. And again, I want to just for a second go back to the sources we've seen so far. How will you build it? K'chol asher ani mareh otcha. You will build it in the way that I show you. Right, and then it says, and when you build it, you're going to put the luchot ha'edut, which I've given to you, which I will give to you. So what's there for, again, simple pshat, assuming that the narrative goes in the proper sequence, where does this take place, where does this pasuk take place? It sounds very much like the first time. And this is what Rashi argues with. Right? This is what Rashi comes and says, no, that's not what's really going on. And let's look at Rashi again in 7. Here Rashi writes those famous words, "Ein muktam u'muchar b'torah, ma'aseh ha'egel kodum l'tzivoy melacha mishkan yamim rabim haya." He says, no, it's not the way that it seems. The reality is quite the opposite. The reality is that the Chet Ha'egel preceded the instructions to building the Mishkan. So therefore, first of all, Rashi's telling us, don't get fooled into thinking that the Torah always follows the proper sequence. It doesn't. It can tell stories thematically. It can tell it for other reasons. It doesn't have to tell it historically. The Torah is not limited in that way, and that may be included in this concept that we call Dibra HaTorah B'Lashan B'nei Adam. The Torah speaks in the vernacular. In the vernacular, you don't always tell every story in the exact sequence of how things took place. Sometimes you say, oh, you know, let me get back to, you know, where all that, you know, the beginning of that, because that's the vernacular. When it says Dibra HaTorah B'Lashan B'nei Adam, it doesn't only mean human language, it means also human forms of speech and human logic. So far everything is easy, right? So let's continue. Source number three talks about the Neirot, the menorah. Vasita et Neiroteha, Shiva ve'ela et Neiroteha, ve'ir al Aver Paneh. We'll skip a little bit. Ure'e va'ase b'tavnitam asher ata mar'eh bahar. What does asher mar'eh bahar mean? I told you, I don't know any dikduk. I assume that all of you do. Asher, what it should be is easy. That, by the way, that's actually how I passed my regents in, I think, in Hebrew, was that I just made every sentence into the sense that I wanted to make it in, and then it was, everything was easy. But you can't do that. I mean, I could do that. Asher atam mar'eh bahar. Don't tell me what it should say. Tell me what it does say. What does that mean? Asher. Re'e. Re'e is interesting. Re'e. See. Look. Re'e. Va'asei b'tavnitam. Which look at the way they translate it in English. Okay. Hold on for 1 second. What is the re'e in the beginning of the sentence referring to? Look at the English, because it may actually be right. Re'eva asay, and see that you make them after the past. Re'eva asay is to, the re'e is going with the asay. Re'eva asay, right? B'tavnitam asher tamar'e bahar. No, no. Right, right, and the re'eh may have nothing to do with the mar'eh. Good. So what does mar'eh mean? Now that we've avoided that for the last minute, what is mar? So I feel very good now. No, so no one knows what this means, right? And what tense is it? Anyone going to speak with confidence? All you need is one person to speak with confidence, and then we're fine.
Past. It's past tense, and the tense is shifting. Why is the tense shifting? But it shifts all the time. The as you share will shift.
Right.
And it's always going back. But
where's the shift? Where's the shift here? you just went with the confidence thing. Okay, fine.
It was active before, and now it's passive.
But isn't it interesting? What is it? Okay. Okay. Let's continue. Then the next time we have a verse like this is in source 4, Perkav Vav Pasuk Lamed, Vahakemota et hamishkan kemishpato asher har'eta bahar. So what does har'eta mean? Fine. Don't look at the translation. Ignore the translation behind the curtain. Okay. Har Eta. Listen. I have to pick my fights. I have to pick the fights with my wife. So I'm. And this simply isn't worth it. But I disagree. But she's better than Dictor. She's better than everything. I'm not convinced that Hareta is mistranslated here, and which Hareta I think is past tense. The Hakimota to Mishkan Kemishpato Asher Hareta Bahar. But one thing that I did want to point out here is that all of these verses are not simple, and there is something else which is going on, which we're having a very hard time in identifying and put our finger on. Now, when we deal with the question that I began with, and of course I'm going to shift questions, but when we start with the question I began with, when exactly does this take place? And when is he showing these things? And what does he see? And is it a present tense vision? Is it a past tense vision? If it's the past tense vision, then the whole thing becomes confusing. If it's present tense, then it's okay. We see that by the luchot, it's a future tense. And as I said, I do want to try to make, you know, some understanding of all of this.
Can I just say yes. Something about the dictum? There's no mitzvot in the Torah. So if it was for Eta, then you could say was shown to you as in the translation instead of Har Eta.
Okay, so I know, but that's.
That was shown to you.
I know, but our okay. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi in 8. Right. Look at source 8, the second line in Rashi. Har Eta Bahar, Kodum Lachain, Shani Atid Lamdecha Ulahuratcha Seder Hakamato. Did that help you? Let's try to then to make some progress over here. Yeah?
Why do you have to connect the instructions
to the vision? Hold on. Look at source 11. Look at Rabbeinu Bachaye. Look at Rabbeinu Bachaye. Ki ha'amnam, okay, source 11. Ki ha'am. By the way, that's on the words. Re'eva say bitav nitam. He's worried with initially why it's bitav nitam and not kitav nitam. Right? Min hanirish hayil alomar kitav nitam bikaf. Shikafa demyon. Haniskar tamid biktuvim etzel ininim domim zelazeh b'chelach acher. Alo b'chol. Chelachad lo b'chol. Ki ha'amnam e efshar lo l'mosher lasot kitavnit otam hadvarim. Asher haya mar'e bahar. Ki sham haya ro'e hadvarim sichliim ruchaniim, v'kam nitzdaveh lasotam gufaniim, v'imken i'efshar lo ma'bitav nitam bibet, ela bikav shaya kaf hadimyon laharot ki yesh bahem dimyon mitzad echad. And I love the word dimyon within this sentence as well. He's saying that it couldn't have said that you can do it like this because, or do this, it means like this because there's going to be a vision and somehow translating that vision into something which is real, concrete, is a shift. That this is the challenge, which of course Rabbeinu Bachai is correct. And you know, again, from the beginning, if you're just given instructions, everything here should be the opposite.
No, if you're going to make something that is the dimyon, then you would say kitan. You can't do bitan nitam is that. Kitan nitam is be'era.
Okay.
So it's explaining the exact opposite. The reason that it says.
We'll have to continue. Umashi is here. No, you have to continue there. Umashi is here. Bitav nitam a bit. Nearly. And then he can continue as far as explaining it, but again, and he goes on. I mean, v'yesh l'tbonein b'loshen kodesh hafresh. I mean, he goes on with this point. But what I wanted to focus on was not. You notice I didn't even initially. I didn't underline the cuff on the bed. One second. Drink the coffee. Do you have to bring you another one? No. What interested me much more is this other point that he makes. Not so much the dikduk. What interests me is that challenge of taking something, of taking the vision and turning it into something which is concrete. Everything strikes me. Speaking of striking, calm down. We'll send you back to work. Yeah. Okay, good. Excellent. Excellent point. Let's continue. Yeah. Correct. Excellent point. And we'll see how much so in a minute. We'll see how much so in a minute. Look at source 13, the Rekanati. He writes as follows, Sod hamishkan niskav v'ne'elam ma'od, the Mishkan is something which is very, very lofty. It's very mysterious. And even that which is hinting at, maybe those who are fortunate will understand. Amru Razal, Amru Rabbi Yeshua, Tisachtan, B'Shem Rabbi Levi, B'Shosh Amar Kadosh Baruch L'Moshe Aseh Mishkan, Rebrech Ya'ama Moshe L'Melech Sh'Nigla L'Ben Bito B'Levush Shakulo Margiliton Amarlo Aseli Kaze Amarlo Adoni Amelech Minain Yesh Li Margiliton Amalo Atein Bisimancha Vani Bechvodi Kach Amarlo Kadosh Baruch Hu Lemoshe Imata Osema Shilamala Lamata Ani Maniach Sukolitin Shili Vyared Matamsen Shchinati Binechem. So you understood a little bit of that, right? Then he goes on to quote a midrash, which instead of reading it, we'll just read the midrash because it's right underneath in source 14. No, look at source 14. Rabbi Yeshua disach the Meshem Yudlevi. Am Bishash Amar Moshe Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Asuli Mishkan Hayelu LaHamid Arba Konitisim. Here you can look at the English. Took four poles. Ulum Toach at the Mishkan, which by the way makes it sound very much like a chupa. Aleihem. Asher milamed sheher'e Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe lamala, eish aduma, eish yiruka, eish shchora, eish levana. Amar lo kitavnit asher atam mar'eh bahar. So, over here, according to this midrash, and this is all we're really going to learn today, is this midrash. According to this midrash, the challenge of translating the vision that Moshe has into something which is real, concrete, part of this world, is even more challenging than we imagined, because the vision that he sees, and I think this is exactly what Jane was getting to, the vision that he sees is not exactly what you've imagined. This is not when you walk into an architect's office and when you have the plans written on that piece of paper with all the description, and then you have the model right next to it. You say, okay, here are the plans, here's the model, this is what it's going to look like when we finish. Instead, it claims that what Moshe sees is something very, very different. And he said, okay, you're going to build, here are the instructions, I want you to build this, and then Moshe sees something. But what Moshe sees, now we realize, is just completely, completely different. It's not even different. You have a better word than different. It's something spiritual. Exactly. Moshe has a spiritual vision, and that spiritual vision somehow is going to come down and be related to what is going to be built on this earth. Okay. No, it's not. It's not the first time. So. No, she's having fun.
I don't know from where I got this, but I thought he saw all in colors. So instead,
So it's very interesting, the color. The colors over here. Okay, so that's one way of that's the first thing that would come to mind, correct? Because we look in the descriptions here, we see colors. What? But it's also more than that. It's much more than that, because here you're saying he sees things in fire, so right? He sees things in different colors or fire, which means he's seeing something which is of a completely different identity than, you know, I'll say bricks and mortar. But again, we're not building bricks and mortar over here. But you understand exactly what it is that I'm saying. So this is the midrash which the Rakhanati was saying, listen, there's something very deep going on over here. If you're lucky, maybe you'll begin to understand some of it. But there is something else going on. And I want to give the suggestion as to what I think is trying to be communicated over here. And I've told you before that whenever rabbis have one really difficult question, they just connect it to another difficult question. But this time I'll do even better. I'll connect it to two other difficult things, and then we'll claim that it's all the same thing. Look at source 15, Sefer Torah Tamincha. Va'amru Razal, Milamit Yerla Moshe Lamala, Eish Aduma, Eish Yurka, Eish Chora, Eish Levana. And don't worry, my skipping over here is not ruining the context. Mikoza Lamanu Ki Amishkan V'Kelav Him Tavnift Hamerkava. A prism, yeah.
Red and the green and the.
I mean, when you look at the sun. So he's saying that again. Let's look at the words here. Now, what exactly does that? What do those words mean? So first of all, you hear the words Merkava, you think of Yecheskel as you write as you should. Which, by the way, the word Merkava is never in Yecheskel, even though it's known as the Merkava of Yecheskel. Although the word. What's interesting is that the letters, the word Merkava, what's the root of it? Rechev. So the root does come back in all kinds of different forms. So for example, Sefer Yecheskel begins, V'yibe shloshim shana v'ribe chamishil achodesh v'nibe toch hagola al nahar kvar. So kvar is also an anagram of Rechev. What then does he see when he looks up? One of the things that he sees is a kruv. And kruv there is spelled without the vav, kruv, which we should all appreciate that the kruv does go back to the very center of the Mishkan. When I say the center, I'm not talking geographically as much as what the whole Mishkan is about. The Mishkan is about taking the Luchot, taking the Edut, putting them inside, but they'll be covered with these Kruvim, and from the place of these Kruvim is where God is going to communicate from. Now, the Kruvim may be far more related to all this than we would normally think. So far, all that I'm beginning to point out is that Yechezkel has incredible vision. Correct? Moshe apparently has some kind of vision, and based on Moshe's vision, he's supposed to build this Mishkan. There are ramifications of this vision that I'll get to soon that the Ramban spells out. But first, let's look at some of those verses in Yechezkel. Let's look at source 16. V'yihi kol me'al l'rakia asher arosham b'amdarm tarpena kanfehim v'mal l'rakia asher arosham kimar'e evin sapir d'mut kisei v'al d'mut ha'kisei d'mut kimar'e adam alav milamala v're'e ke'in chashmal kimar'e esh beit la saviv mimar'e matnav ulamala mimen matnav ulamala v'ite kimar'e esh v'noga lo saviv Kimara hakeshet asher yah biyom ha'anan, kiyah ba'anan biyom hageshem. Now, first of all, and I'll just read the end of the pasuk. Kin mareh hanoga saviv hu mareh dmut kavod Hashem forever opol apanai v'shma kol midaber. Okay, so I understand as little of this as you do, but what you do see over here are various elements and various words that do cause associations. I'll ignore the Evan Hasapir for a moment, but we will. Over here, Mar'eh means an appearance. First of all, note the Keshet. What is a Keshet? Right? So over here, when the Midrash is telling that he sees many different colors of fire, it may very well be connected to this Keshet, which is being spoken of over here. On top of this, this is where he sees the vision, this is where Kavod Hashem is, and this is where he hears the kol midaber. Just continue a little bit in Perek Yud Yechezkel, in source 17. Ve'areh v'hinei el harakia asher arosh ha'kruvim ke'evin sapir k'mered dmut kisei nir'eh aleim. V'yomer el ha'ish levu shabadim v'yomer bo El benot legalgal el tachat lekruv umalechaf nechagach leish mibenot lekruvim lezrok al ear v'yavol einai v'kruvim omdim yamin lebayit bevoa ish v'anan malei etachatzer hapnimit v'yaram kavod Hashem al hakruv al miftan habayit v'malei habayit et anan v'chatzer malah et noga kavod Hashem. So again, what? Doesn't it sound like he's absolutely describing the Mishkan? But okay. What we have over here, again, I want the simple points, and then we'll get to the more complicated points. What we have over here is a vision, the vision of Yechezkel. The vision of Yechezkel is called a Merkava. What is a Merkava, or what is the Merkava of Yechezkel? It's understood as being some kind of a chariot, and when you hear Merkava, what you should be in your mind saying, a spiritual elevator. That's what a Merkava is. Who was in a Merkava? Eliyahu. What did his Merkava do? It takes him up into heaven. That's what a Merkava does. A Merkava is an elevator. You push the button and you go up into heaven. One wants a vision. One wants to have a vision. One goes into this Merkava, and the Merkava is what takes them up to be able to appreciate spirituality. The Merkava is used in many ways, many different places in Jewish literature. Ha'avot hein hein ha-merkava. The avot are the ones who create a spiritual ability for elevation, which means basic Jewish spirituality comes from the avot, and therefore they can be used as a way of connecting up into heaven. But over here, the Kruvim become a central point. And one of the things which the Ramban spells out as much as he feels that he can is that all of this may be far more related to something that went terribly wrong than we normally would have appreciated. And what's that? Not even. The other thing that went terribly wrong. What's the other thing that went terribly wrong? the Cheta Egel. Because when it describes the faces on the Merkava, it describes different animals, including one of them is a shore. And then it says, but the regel, the foundation, what's underneath it, which means the lowest point of it, which allows you then to use just to go up, was a regel of an egel. Which means that part of the vision of the Merkava is a vision of an egel. Now, one of the things which is spelt out already in among the earliest strata of rabbinic sources, and I'm referring to the Mechilta, is that ma shira'a shivcha al hayam, that which even the uninitiated, even the one without great education, saw by the yam, what happened by the yam, the splitting of the sea, includes a gilui shechina, includes this incredible show by God. What happens by this gilui shechina? So now there's various versions to that. What did she see? So one it says yoter min hanevi'im, in one version of the Midrash, and I believe that's the way it's quoted by Rashi, she sees more than the Nevi'im. The Ramban quotes it as the Mechilta, more than Yecheskel saw. Which means that part of the interesting thing and the important thing about the Nevoah of Yecheskel is that even though we normally have this understanding, and maybe we'll touch this next week, normally we have an understanding there is no Nevoah in Chutz La'aretz. Yecheskel does prophesize in the Galut. And this is considered to be, this is based on the Zohar, is considered to be one of the last experiences of prophecy, in order that when there is no longer prophecy, a person can still use the Merkava of Yecheskel as a way of having a spiritual experience. The way that this is described in the literature is that, and I've discussed this before, but I'll just spell it out a little bit, is we're told in the Gemara that Yecheskel and Yeshayahu see an identical vision. They see the same thing. In Yeshayahu, it comes out in one pasuk. In Yecheskel, it takes at least one chapter, maybe two, maybe Aleph and Bet, maybe Yud as well, as you just now saw. So he goes and explains things in incredible detail. According to the Gemara, who's on a higher level? Yeshayahu, Yecheskel. It says Yeshayahu is on a higher level because he took this kind of vision for granted. Why? Because he saw the Beit HaMikdash built. He saw the physical thing, so he didn't have to be so descriptive in words. On the other hand, I'm saying Yeshayahu prophesies in the Beit HaMikdash. But by the way, this is exactly the issue. Yecheskel prophesies not from the Beit HaMikdash, from the Galut, from Hanahar Kfar, from the river Kfar, is where he's prophesizing, and he sees the Kruv, he sees the Rechev, he sees the Merkava. But for him, this is an incredible vision because is he seeing the physical aspect or the spiritual aspect? Which is, he's only seeing the spiritual aspect of it, and therefore he's completely blown away and describes it in so much detail. I'll stop there for a second. What Yeshayahu sees is he sees the real thing, and of course, being spiritually sensitive, he's able to see the real thing and understand the significance of it. Again, let's go back to the beginning of this week's parsha. Our difficulty is we're being asked to build things that don't mean anything to us. Build a menorah, build an aron, build a shulchan, and for us it's just, you know, furniture. And what they're being told to build is not furniture, but rather they're being told to build is something which is a mishkan, which is like a merkava, which is a way of connecting and being brought up into heaven. So therefore, the experience of Moshe and the experience of Yeshayahu will not be the same experience. Why? Moshe sees the vision and is supposed to take the vision and bring it down to make something real, while Yeshayahu sees something real and then he understands the vision from it, which means it's an opposite experience. Yecheskel, which by the way is much closer to what Moshe experiences, right? Yecheskel is in Chutz La'aretz, and he sees the spiritual thing, but what he does for us is writes down in words what he sees. Those Kabbalists, mystics, who will study the prophecy of Yecheskel, what they'll do is they'll study the words and then try to recreate the vision based upon the words. So Yecheskel has a vision and puts it into words. The Kabbalists read the words and then try to recreate the vision based upon the words. Yecheskel, being so wordy and being so descriptive, is that much more valuable, but that's because he's on so much of a lower level, because he doesn't really see it, and he only has the vision, and he has to try to capture from this what he can. Was any of that clear? Okay. Yes. The Ramban says that.
And when Moshe doesn't come down, they try to do it themselves.
Exactly. Exactly.
They
see the bottom. Exactly. Exactly. Okay? The Ramban. Okay? Which when you understand that. Right. When you understand that, then for the first time, the Chet Ego can make any sense whatsoever and say, why? Because otherwise you read this. Moshe's not here, let's make an Ego. What are you talking about? And said, this is what took you out of Egypt. What do you mean this is what took you out of Egypt? That's insane. It's not what took them out of Egypt. Who took them out of Egypt? They're trying to do the Merkavah because that's what they saw during the splitting of the sea. They see a Merkava, they see something, and if Moshe's not here, how are we ever going to connect up into heaven? What do we need? We need a Merkava. What is the lowest part of the Merkava which they're able to understand? It is the regal of the ego. And again, all that becomes very clear when you start to read Yechezkel. So what I'm saying is that the purpose of us looking into Yechezkel now becomes twofold. On the one hand, it becomes very interesting in terms of the whole Cheta Egel and how and why they would have made this kind of mistake. It also becomes very interesting in terms of what Moshe is being asked to build based upon what Moshe sees and what Moshe understands. Okay? Yes. The Tanakh doesn't say that. Midrashim say that he.
No,
it says it's not really as clear in the Pesukim, but correct. To actually turn into something physical and to get it to stand up is not a very easy thing. It could be. That may not, again, it depends how spiritual you want to make him understood. But there's, yeah.
If the people are trying, when they build the Egel, they're trying to build what they saw in the vision of yes. Hashem Erkavah, so why is it should be not such a thing?
Which brings us down to a very simple question. What is Avodah Zarah? Avodah Zarah is to do something God didn't ask you to do. See, it's interesting, if you look at the Rashi's Lo Tase'iti, Elohei Kesef Elohei Zahav, right? Lo Tase'iti. So Rashi then says, this comes to teach you that you can't make the Kruvim out of silver. You can only make the Kruvim out of gold. And then he goes, you can't make four Kruvim, only two Kruvim. What in the world is Rashi talking about? Over here we see the Kruvim, but how can you make Kruvim at all? So let me ask the question differently. What's the difference between the Kruvim and the Egel? And there's only, if you really, really think about it, there's only one difference. What is it? This God said to do and this God didn't say to do. Which means, had God said, I want you to build two Egels and put them inside the Beit HaMikdash, then we would build two Egels and that would be the holiest place. And had the people sinned by building a Kruv, then that would have been the Chet HaKruv instead of the Chet HaEgel. What it comes down, again, maybe this is very disappointing to you, what it comes down to is a sin of procedure and not a sin of substance. Good. Correct. But absolutely. But now you can also understand where those authorities come and say, no, this was not necessarily the chait of Avodah Zarah as you would normally understand it. And you know, when you hear some of these opinions, and come on, that's what's normally taught in schools. Not everything which is taught in schools is necessarily a cover-up. Obviously, the motivation to teach it that way is because the teachers and the educational system certainly wants to minimize the sin. You don't want to get up and tell the fourth graders, well, listen, they were worshipped of Avodah Zarah, and then an orgy broke out, and you're not going to teach it that way. But I'm saying there is certainly an ideological reason to claim that the sin is as small as possible. What I'm pointing out is once you have the insight of the Ramban, you realize that may not be such a bad argument. In fact, it answers for us a lot of things that we don't have answered otherwise. Yeah?
So, we've always been taught that the Mishnah was a solution to the problem.
Correct.
We get it ahead of time, so we're not so devastated when it happens, but it doesn't make sense now. Oh, it makes total sense. No, what I'm going to do is I'll forget about it. The first time we're introduced to Kuvim are at the entrance to Gan Eden.
Right.
After the Gibbush. So I'm wondering whether the solution that the Mishkan presents is not to the Egel, to the Gibbush.
It does connect.
It's the path to the Itzchayim, but it's correct.
Correct. That's beautiful, and I have a whole chapter in my book about that.
what I claimed
is that the Kruvim symbolize Adam and Eve before the sin. Is that the Kruvim are two innocent, childlike things. The first Kruvim we see replace Adam and Eve, who are kicked out of the Garden of Eden, now they stand guard the way to the Garden of Eden. But when you understand, especially with the Zohar, that the Kruvim were male and female, so male and female guarding the way to Gan Eden, that means they replaced what was in Gan Eden. What was in Gan Eden? Adam and Eve, who were naked, but they were naked, but they were completely innocent. When I taught this yesterday, I said that one of the challenges of creating the Kruvim would be how do you capture, and I don't know any of you, if you have any experience with art, or certainly in terms of sculpture, how do you capture the look in the eye of someone who never sinned? I'm saying that it's just an incredible thing to try to capture. That's what the Kruvim were. So therefore, Aaron would go into the, or the Kohen Gadol would go into the Beit HaMikdash on Yom Kippur, the day we're forgiven for the Chet HaEgel, which is absolutely related to this. And he would see man, Adam and Eve, at their apex before sin, before corruption, in order to draw inspiration from looking at that innocence and then trying to bring it outside and create some kind of trickle down morality. Okay, we'll leave it at that because I won't sell any books if I explain too much. So let's get. What?
Are the books still available?
No, we're going to go. We're going to another printing. Okay. This is not this Ramban here. We'll get to this Ramban in a second. Let's now go back to that third piece of information that you knew was coming, that we need to see. You think I know? Okay. Let me read the verses first. It's in 11. No, I don't want to read 11. I want to read the psukim first, and then we'll look at the Ramban. No, it's not here. My computer had an episode, and apparently that part that I saved was unsaved. At the end of Parashat Mishpatim, it reads as follows, right? This is last week. We're in Perek Kaf Dalid. It starts off El Moshe Amar Alei El Hashem Atav Aronu Nadav Aviu Vishivim Zikne Yisrael Vishtachavita Mirachok. I'm skipping a little. Vayomer Moshe v'saper la'am et kol divrei Hashem v'et kol mishpatim v'yan kol la'am kol achad v'yomer kol divrei Moshe divrei Hashem na'aseh. V'yichtov Moshe et kol divrei Hashem v'yashkim b'boker v'yivin mizbech tachet ahar, and so on. V'yikach sefer habrit, and he reads it, and they also na'aseh v'nishma. V'ya'al Moshe Aaron Nadav Aviyu v'shivim mizikne Yisrael. This is Pasuk Yud now. V'yir'u et Elohei Yisrael. V'tachat raglav k'maasei levnat ha-sapir uke'etzem ha-shamayim l'tohar. V'el atzilei b'nei Yisrael lo shalach yado v'yechazu et ha-elokim v'yachlu v'yishtu. What happens right after this, v'yom Hashem Moshe, alei alei ha-hara v'yesham v'nelech ha-luchot, and so on. Which means this is the last thing that happens before Moshe goes up, and there is some kind of vision. The vision includes within it the Evin HaSapir, they see the regel, by the way, they see the bottom of the Kiseh HaKavod. Now the question is this something which is literal, or is this something which is figurative? And I think that most of us would, at this point, suspect that it's something which is figurative. But I do want to point something out. When we speak of the vision that they have at Har Sinai. On the one hand, we heard before, Kol Amru Imeta Kolot. And that's actually by the Aseret HaDibrot. That's not the only thing that they see. They do have all kinds of other visions, including the one which is spelled out over here, which now all of you who are mystically intuned now realize that what I just now read is very, very close to what Yechezkel sees. Which means Yechezkel's vision actually encompasses two different things. What does it encompass? It encompasses, as was pointed out, it sounds like he's looking at the Mishkan on the one hand, but it also sounds that he's standing by the foot of Har Sinai on the other hand, which therefore may tell us that this connection that we see from the foot of Har Sinai, or from Har Sinai, from on top of the mountain, may not be all that different from what we find in the Chumash immediately afterwards. Which again, when all this takes place, I'm not going to resolve today, but thematically, to connect what we have at the end of last week's parasha with the beginning of this week's parasha is not all that far off once you take a look at Yechezkel. So again, just appreciate what I'm doing. I'm taking the Mishkan, which we don't understand. I'm taking Mamad Har Sinai that we don't understand. I'm taking Yechezkel that we don't understand. And I'm saying, let's put them all together and now we understand everything. That's what I'm claiming. Now let's look in the Ramban, in source 18. Vayiru et Elohei Yisrael Pirish Rabbi Avraham, that's the Ibn Ezra, b'mar'eh ha'nevuah, kimo shereiti et Hashem nitzav al ha'mizbeach. V'tach raglav k'masei levnat ha'sapir, hu shera'a Yechezkel kimara evin sapir, demut kisei. I mean, again, I'll tell you a hint, the Ramban knows everything that we know. Okay? The Ramban understands that this vision that Am Yisrael have by Har Sinai is the same vision that he has, and that's the kisei. That's the kisei of Hashem. Uke etzem Hashemayim l'tohar, shiru tachat levnat ha'sapir ke etzem Hashemayim l'tohar. I don't know. You'll read the rest of it if that'll help you. He explains it. Who read the rest of it? V'yaderech ha'emet. That's good. We always need an alarm clock like 50 minutes into my class. People need to wake up before it's over. V'yaderech ha'emet, which is always for the Ramban a euphemism for mystical revelation. That's emet for him. V'yaderech ha'emet b'avurki yizkir b'matan tarai d'ber lokim v'hu kasher amar hi'u Hashem alkeinu et kvodo v'et kodlo v'et kolo shamanu mitoch ha'esh. What he's saying over here is that the vision that was seen by different people on different levels over here was going to be different. And those on the highest level will understand apparently far more.
Leaving out the Saleh, who has the vision to concretize everything.
I know. One of the things that I was thinking of, which I don't think I'm going to do, maybe 2 weeks, was coming back to what exactly is the machloka between Bezalel and Moshe, and coming back to that. Look at source, it doesn't have a number, after 20, Sifte Kohen, before 21. V'tachat raglav kamasei levnata sapir, ramaz sha'achar shekiblu Yisrael ha'Torah kiv'yachol, yoshav HaKadosh Baruch al kisei kvodo v'simcha, v'zeu levnata sapir, gematria b'simcha. V'sapir hainu kisei, t'chtiv kemara, evin sapir demuta kisei, v'nigzar beit ha'migdash libanot mi evin sapir. Which means what he's saying is that there is a direct relationship between the vision, between the Mishkan, between the Beit HaMikdash, between the vision of Yechezkel. But I just want to put together some of the things the strings that I've left open so far, because I think that they're all connected. Yeah.
Evin Sapir, it could be that it was transparent, and mm-hmm. they saw it through the color of the Sapir. Mm-hmm. And when you see something through a stone that's transparent,
creates a
prism.
It creates
not only a prism, but it's what's the word?
Distorts it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It distorts it, so therefore you don't see exactly. You see a lot of other things besides the different colors.
Right. Also depends on the angle from where you're looking.
Yeah.
Right.
But by the way, when we're told in the Gemara that there are Arba Shenichnasu Lepardes, no, I didn't. I wasn't going to go there tonight till she said this. It says Amar Lo Rabbi Akiva, Kishatem Megim Eitzel Avni Shayish Tahor Al Tamru Mayim Mayim Shenemar Dover Shkarim Lo Yichon LeNeged Einai. So over there, there's also this warning about saying something, but misunderstanding the saying, and it's going to look like it's glistening with water, but it's really the Avnei Shayish Tahor. But I think that's related. Let's leave that and get and let's yeah and let's leave that and let's get to the things which are still left open. One, this whole thing about the fire that we saw, the fire of the different colors. I would therefore be inclined to connect the fire back to the fire which takes place by Sinai, to the various visions that they see by Sinai. But then I'll add in one more thing. What was the difficulty that we had about build the Mishkan like you saw by the mountain? And we were having difficulty. Remember when I asked you what are the possibilities and all of you jumped in and said it's either the first time Moshe goes up or the second time Moshe goes up? Do you now realize there's a third possibility? It's before Moshe goes up. Read that pasuk again. Read that pasuk again in source 4. Kaf vav lamed. V'hakimota et ha-mishkan k'mishpato asher har'eta bahar. Which means the building of the Mishkan, you know, bigadol, what's it supposed to be? You know, in its broadest sense, what is the Mishkan supposed to be? It's supposed to be a physical replication of the spiritual vision which you saw on the mountain. And again, if you can follow the Ramban says people saw different things, but this is what Moshe saw. Moshe, what you saw, what you understood from the highest level of Nivuah, from the highest level of revelation, what you saw through the clouds, through the fires, through everything, what you saw on that mountain, that Merkava that you saw, that's the Mishkan that you're going to build. And if that's the case, I think we can then reconcile the different terms which are being used, which means when it comes to some of the details, how to build the menorah and how to build the aron, that I'm going to show you, or I'm showing what you look at. But when it comes to what the Mishkan is, that's the larger vision of what it is, that goes back to what happened by Har Sinai. And I think that's the conclusion that takes place once you look at the verses in Yechezkel and you compare it to what happens by Har Sinai and you realize that the Mishkan is what the Mishkan is doing. It's linking those things together. I will, though, read to conclude, and then I'll take whatever questions you have. Some of you know Har Eta is only used one other time in the Chumash. It's in source number 6, although just look at the Baal HaTurim, because Baal HaTurim is at least interesting. See if you can catch the mistake in the Baal HaTurim. Har Eta Shnayim B'Misarah, it's only twice in tradition. Hacha, once is here. V'idach, the others are Har Eta Ladat in Devarim. Okay. It's in source 5. So, right, it's misspelled. It's misspelled. It's the printing.
That wasn't a typo.
It's a typo. Pirish, Bahar Har Eta Ladat Kihu Elokim V'Einod. Right? So let take a look at the psukim themselves. Kisha al nali amim rishonim asher yu lefanecha lemin hayom ashebara. This is verse 6. Ashebara lokim adam ala aretz lemkteh shemayim ve'alkteh shemayim. Haniyeka devar gadol hazeh o nishma kmo. What's he describing? He's saying when the heavens opened up. Hashema am kol elokim midaber mitoch ha'esh kasher shemata ata vayechi. Did it ever happen that people understood or saw or heard God speak and they lived? Which, by the way, now we realize. Now also you realize something else. Is that's describing Yitziyat Ha'am, but it's also describing. What's the Yad HaGdolah? It's talking Kriyat Yamsuf, which is also. Right. Uvamarim Dolim Kechol Asher Asa Lachem Hashem Lachem B'Mitzrayim Le'einecha Atar Har'eita Ladat. Now, once you look at this context of Har Eta and you go back to the Mishkan, I think the connection is much is much, much tighter. Which means what I'm suggesting is as follows, that what Moshe sees before he goes up to receive the first luchot is a spiritual vision, this kisei Hashem. He sees this and he understands or is able to somehow contemplate some kind of a spiritual vision. What Hashem is telling him, that spiritual vision that you saw, that needs to be translated into something which is concrete to become the Mishkan. What the Ramban suggested is that part of the vision that the people had seen, and he's going back to Kriyat Hayam, part of what they'd seen there was already connected to this Merkava, and it was that understanding of something which is spiritual, which connects them to the ego, which is why, in the absence of Moshe, they go and build. Which is in the absence of, it's in the absence of Moshe, they go and feel the need to create an ego as a replacement, which was something which I think till this point or without the Ramban just did not seem to make any sense. But I'll find it for you next week.
You don't have it, it's not
enough. No, I just decided that this morning. Yeah. So I'm finished. Yeah, go ahead.
Wait, what about in the description of that they say the Kisei Elohim, they mean the Merkava?
Yes.
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 Okay. So that's one. And the other thing is the word Tahor that bothers me. In all this description, there is another qualifier that says Tahor.
Uh-huh.
Now, the Tahor is the essence of the thing that you really can't understand.
I don't know.
You should know.
I don't know.
Ask him the question.
What's that? What's that? Do you prefer I make up an answer? I could do that. I don't know. I think it's a good question. I don't know. I haven't.
Am I touching on something where I'm making it up in my mind? Because that also
depends if I find a good answer or not.
Yeah. You
yeah.
said,
mm-hmm.
It doesn't say if it was before.
Mm-hmm. Correct. It doesn't. What I'm,
but how do you know?
I don't.
But how do you know?
I'm suggesting. I'm suggesting that when I asked, wait a second, when I asked you how many possibilities there were, you only told me two possibilities.
That we know for sure. We went up twice.
Right. So what I'm suggesting is that maybe a third possibility to this, and the third possibility is before Moshe even went up the first time, and that may explain a lot more issues than we would have appreciated before.
But
Tov. No, so I'm saying, Hareta may very well be connected to the other Hareta that we just now saw, which does take us back specifically to Ma'amad Har Sinai, to Revelation, and to Kriyat Hayam, which are the two parts which create A, the Cheta Egel, because there was a revelation of a Merkava then, and the second part, it's by the mountain where they also see the evidence up here, which is also again connected to the Merkava. Ladies, have a good Shabbat. You've been